हरिः ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
श्री कृष्ण संदर्भ आदिकारण अध्याय 2 आदिकारण 1 डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ स्वयं भगवान लॉर्ड कृष्ण. Okay, so continue with this Adhikarana summary. So this section, it'll only come up now and again where it applies, but it's kind of like a dialectic discussion between the points that are being made and what are the arguments. Mm-hmm. You know, because much of the time it goes through this just descriptions and all that, but occasionally you get this where you get this kind of... there's a lot of philosophical points or doubts on the points that he's making. And so then those are presented in a summary here. And then once we go through the chapter, then you'll see all those points being made. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So wherever it applies, it'll come up. So it won't be every... section. Like you see, this is the first one here. We've had some ones before. It's generally been in the Prakashika, but here then it makes it clear if it's separate from the Prakashika. Page 44. Or the bottom of 44. So the Purva Paksha. So the new doubt. There are statements in other scriptures which clearly state that Krishna is a portion of hair of Vishnu, such as Ujjaharat Mana, Keshav Sita Krishna Mahai Mune. O great sage, Vishnu took a white and black hair from himself, and these became Balaram and Krishna. Vishnu Purana 5.159. Mahabharata also says, Vishnu took two hairs, one white and one black. These two hairs entered the wombs of Rohini and Devaki in the Yadu family. The white hair became Balaram, the black hair became Krishna. Mahabharata 189-31. Uttara. The meaning of such statements should be understood as explained by Sridhar Swami in his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.26. Krishna was with skillfully bound up hair, whose method of attainment is unknown to men, having made his appearance to relieve the earth of the suffering caused by the armies of demons, and to relieve the devotees of their pain of separation will perform activities whose sweetness will hide his powers. In Kalaya Sita Krishna Kesha, Srimad Bhagavatam 2.7.26, the word Kalaya should agree with the meaning of Bhagavatam. Thus the meaning should be, he who has white and black expansions, or has bound black hair, who is directly Bhagavan, appearing with his umshas. Right, because otherwise this is a standard thing. You hear this, the Hindus always bring up this, you know, just this conversation is one of those things. If you know something like this, you have to work it into the conversation. You know, if you're talking with a Krishna devotee or like that, you have to bring this up and you know. So the point that comes up is that as a natural default, we'll take any kind of explanation in its context of a situation. That's just how we look at things, because a situation means now I have the opportunity to perform an action to satisfy my desire. So we're always looking for the situations in which that can be done. right? Then if we find that we're unable to do those things really nicely, we have the situations where we're not successful, then we're interested in that knowledge and skill, how to make it successful. But otherwise, the natural position is we always look at the situational aspect, right? Because we're looking at the jiva then has their natural position as the servant of the Lord, but they're not interested in serving the Lord. So if you take out the icha aspect, serving the Lord, then what you have left is the jnana and kriya. Right? So the jnana is the situation and your general mood of whether it's more about feelings or whether it's more about opulence, like that. Then the kriya is going to be that you do something that produces. And so for us, that production is for ourselves. But you see, in general, it's always the situation, because I can produce something in this situation. You understand? So we'll take it back to there. So that's the lower aspect in the spiritual realm, because for Krishna to fulfill his desires, then you have a situation, and I mean, you have activities in which you can express that. Those activities are nicely expressed in particular situations. Does that make sense?
It's connected to black and white hair.
We're getting there. But do you understand this point?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just like, let's say you want to have a particular relaxed interaction with somebody. So you go to a situation in which activities that you consider relaxing can be done. You know what I'm saying? And then in those, and that situation, I mean, you go to that situation in which relaxing activities can be done. So that you're going to think of a place. Okay, let's get away. Where should we go? And then it'll be, okay, if you go here, then these activities are available, but then there's these disturbances, but there, then these activities, but that, the other ones are there. And so you're going to look at the situation. Does that make sense? So, now they're always going to look at these things, trying to, the knowledge that's given from that point of situational. So therefore, these two hairs then mean this as a situation. Rather than, no, they mean they're in context of Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. They're about Krishna's position as Bhagavan. That means it's about his desire, and therefore then the activities he does with his devotees. Does that make sense? Then the situations are manifest for that. In other words, he has a desire, that's fulfilled through a certain action, then there's a situation. But because we're not in control, we look for those situations in which we can do our activity to get our own satisfaction. Does that make sense? So they won't look at it that they'll have to take it, no, they came from these hairs, rather than these hairs themselves are talking about, you know, as he mentioned here. So he has white and black expansions, like that. You know, so then from Vishnu, then you have white and black expansions if you're talking about Krishna and Balaram and their pastimes expanding from Aniruddha, right? Or you're talking about, the aspect is he's Bhagavan, his expansions then come from him. Does that make sense? So from Bhagavatam, then we know when Krishna comes, Swayam Bhagavan, then it's he comes with his amshas. So Krishna comes with his expansions. Does this make some sense? So the perspective is always where we tend to look at it from here. That's why here you'll always get that inductive look, because you're going to start from my situation, what I can do in that situation, what will be the results of that. Right? So if I'm describing a situation in which you don't feel that you can get good results from because of the actions to be performed, you won't be inclined. Does that make sense? So it always comes back to ourself and our situation. Seth, yes?
Can we say, Maharaj, that one of the reasons that people are so worried about situations is that it's more external to themselves that the consciousness, I mean, the knowledge and the desire, because desire and knowledge we carry within ourselves. Mm-hmm. Not that it's not an external thing, because we have to, you know, to get it from somewhere. Desire we get from also from external source, and knowledge we gain from external. But it is that the anxiety about situation is because it's more kind of an external to the person.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you can say is you're not as much in control in this and that.
Exactly.
But you also have the thing is, now what's the problem with the conditioned jiva? Where is his consciousness?
In external.
In external. He identifies with the external. So even when we say the knowledge and skills is within us, that's within the subtle body.
Right.
And then that's expressed through the gross body. So in other words, it's all about that aspect. And based on that, I should be happy from this. Because when you remove the icha aspect of Krishna's desire, then you have, and replace that with our desire. But the point is, being part and parcel of Krishna, if Krishna's happy, we'll be happy. But if we remove Krishna from the equation, how can we actually become happy? So that's why the living entity compromises that happiness is defined as removal of pain. So it never actually is positive. There's no such thing as ananda. It can be something that's very much of a pain, so when you remove it, then you're very, very ecstatic, seemingly. Mm-hmm. But as soon as that initial euphoria is over, it's back to business as usual.
So material, basically, it's based on negative.
It's based on the negative. That's why the karma is based on the negative. It just means remove. I'll go to the heavenly planets, I'll enjoy. But it'll only be enjoyable in the context of that here is less. You know, it's just like I say, if someone always stays, let's say, in the best room in a 5-star hotel whenever they travel around, for them that's normal. It's not something special. They don't go in and, you know, look out the window and you know, jump onto the bed and look at the bathroom and, you know, freak out that this is so fabulous. Someone who never stays there and somehow or another, for some reason, they're upgraded there, or a friend is having some program, and so they arrange that huge place and that's where they're going to have the program. Then you get that. But for the people who always stay there, it's just normal. They'll look at it and go, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's not bad. You know what I'm saying? But now let's say something happens and they do end up in something less and something that when they finally get back, then they go, okay, now this is nice, this is real.
Decent,
yeah. You know. So that's the difficulty that comes up, is that, like you say, the material world is based on negative. It's just removal of something that's a problem. It's not of actually adding something, it's positive. But because it's the nature of the jiva to be sachi ananda, so they're going to think in the context of ananda. But they have to compromise because that ananda is not available here. It's only available in context of Krishna. Yes.
Also, yesterday we were discussing Laghu Bhagavatamrita, and that the same point came up, is that we have to establish, I mean, any school of knowledge,
yes,
they have to establish hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to establish Krishna Stu Bhagavan Svayam, and then, like last class, that was this statement regulates everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So also, if we discuss with others, Even with other Vaishnav Sampradaya, or with Mayavadi for that matter, the discussion that they establish Vishnu as supreme, the top, and we're not agreeing to that. Or Mayavadi, they say Brahman is the supreme. So they introduce, because both statements are there, like we see here. We can't really deny what's in Vishnu Purana, what's in Mahabharata. But we have to see in the context of the main statement.
Yes.
But Mayavadis, for example, what they do is that they say, okay, Brahman is supreme, this is paramarthika statement. Everything is in connection to that statement. Then there's Vyavaharika, and then there's Pratibhashika, which is, Pratibhashika is just nonsense, it's hallucination, basically like the horns of a rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the example.
Okay.
Like it doesn't exist actually, but you can imagine it. It is possible.
Monty Python worked that one out.
And then conventional meaning means Vyavaharika, means it's used for our own, you know, purposes, but it's not paramarthika, which is supreme.
Mm-hmm.
So in this, that's why the discussion between Mayavadis and the Vaishnava never ends, because mm-hmm. we don't accept the same parameters. We have to establish mm-hmm. those.
Yes. So the thing in that context is that when you say, as we don't agree that that's the ultimate, but the process by how they get from the material position, or from the, what do you say it? Paramarthika, Vyavaharika, and what was the last one?
Pratibhashika.
From the Pratibhashika up to Paramarthika, which for them is Brahman, means the spiritual platform, that we agree.
Yeah.
And for the worshippers of Vishnu, then up to that point we also agree.
Mm.
So then with them, if you discuss the process of getting there, you know, the elements of how Vishnu is supreme and what is his world of relationship with the jivas and all that kind of thing, then you have very nice discussions, because up to that point it's the same.
Yeah.
Now when you start to get to that, when they get there, that's when you start. But if all this has been discussed, then you can point out that, well, what about, you know, it's like we were saying, the difficulty of the Shris and the Madhvas at the time of Lord Chaitanya, they were just talking about Srupya Mukti, you know, as their goal. But that's not a goal. That may be a situation you want to be in, but it's not a goal. You know, it's just like, I'd like to be in the kitchen, but that's not, you can say that's a goal. No, your goal is you'd like to be in the kitchen so you can eat and talk with your friends. But there, as we were saying before, we look at, if the situation's there, everything else automatically happens. How do the ads work? They just talk about the situation. They just show a situation and then leave it up to your imagination to put it together.
Yeah.
Like that.
Well, basically, whoever's watching this have to project themselves into that situation and see, yeah, I can be like that.
Yes, yes.
Then interest. If not, not
yes,
interest.
Yes. So you find, so you're looking for the situations that this would be. Like they say, if you have money, you'll be happy. You have a house, you'll be happy. You go on this cruise, you'll be happy. You know, these things is that they'll say the situations are there. So that's why I will think, you know, if I go back to Godhead, then everything will be perfect. But the point is okay, but what do you do there? Right? Then what do you do and why are you doing that? That becomes the actual point. So when you're talking about Varnashram, like you started, Varnashram and performing your duties to please the Lord, then okay, but the emphasis is on the situation in Varnashram and to performing those duties. But why are you doing those duties? Why are you trying to please the Lord? That hasn't been brought up. You know what I'm saying? So we'll take it, oh, we remove the whole thing. No, but the situation remains. We add. So it's not that in that discussion with Ramananda Roy, by moving up step by step, the lower situations disappear. It just means you start to become more and more aware of what you're doing in those situations. You know, because I'm doing my duties to please the Lord, you know? Okay, I'm dutiful and all that. That situates me in goodness. That makes me, brings me to the platform of a jnani, of the neophytes, that I recognize the Lord and I'm grateful to the Lord. Therefore, I perform my duties for His pleasure. That makes the difference between the jnani, why that's a solid position, while the artha artarthi jigyasu is not, because they have some material need to fulfill. That's the only reason they're going to the Lord. But the jnani, that is something sustainable. I mean, you can take it farther because he recognizes the position of the Lord, his relationship, and because the Lord is so kind in giving these opportunities, then he has that gratefulness, and because of that gratefulness, he is dutiful. Right? So from there, then you can progress. The other three, they're not on their own something to progress, because as soon as the anxiety goes away or the economic difficulty or the knowledge that you're looking for is satisfied, you may go away. Right? But if in doing that, because it's written into the program, is that if you do this, even with material desire, because you did it in context of Krishna, there's going to be a taste that's coming from Krishna. And by that taste, then you move forward to the jnani, then to the madhyamadhikara.
Yeah.
Right? So in the same way as that there, so what's his next point? Well, yeah, detachment, giving up attachment for everything and this and that. And so then you're looking at it, again, external, because the first one is external. I'm situated in that, and I'm doing like this. This is the point. I respect the Lord, so I'm doing these external activities. Right? Then, okay, now I'm renouncing these external activities. But again, it's an external point. Right? But in that, can you be performing your duties with detachment? Yeah. That's the meaning of the meaning of sannyas, as described in the Gita, is that you're performing your duties without attachment. It's not about the ashram, it's about a mentality. So now we've added that mentality, but we see is that I'm detached from it. Okay, that comes from the mode of goodness, and it still is connected to the Lord, so it's progressive. But it still hasn't gotten. Then it gets to the point where you're doing it to please Krishna, and that's about that, without karma jnana. Then it's like, okay, now we're starting. Because now it's like we're talking about the activity. But we're not talking about the activity. Why are we doing that? You know, we're doing to please the Lord, but why would we do that? It means thinking, feeling, willing, then action. Action happens because of willing. Willing happens because, why? Because you have to have some reason that you're doing that. So why would you be doing that? So then you start that attachment to the Lord. That's the drive why you're doing it. So when he's talking about the externals, we'll just take it because we're thinking external. Oh, no varnashram. So we'll just live like mulechas and yavanas, you know, but, you know, without the meat eating and the intoxication and the gambling and the illicit sex, you know. But otherwise, it's like, you know, it's like Romans. How you say when you do the Jesus West, you know, then they just took the Roman culture as it was. Anything that was pagan from it, those aspects they removed. And whatever was left, that became their culture. So the Christian culture is just Roman culture without the obvious pagan elements. If they were supportive of pagan but weren't directly, those stayed. So in other words, the Roman diet stayed. The Roman clothes stayed. Because they weren't wearing that clothes because it was part of the ritual. You know, they weren't eating that food because it was part of the ritual. But anything that they had, their animal sacrifices or these things and that, and worship of the different, you know, planets or whatever they were doing, that was all dropped. And you added the monotheistic. So that improved. But the problem was then you had the monotheistic and no culture to properly express it, as was already there before they remove that, you know, because when you're here on the eastern side of the Mediterranean, and you move around more to that western side of the Mediterranean, by that you can't do the activities of over here. You know, it's so much distance. You're so much different. You know, you don't live on the main part, you live on a boot that sticks out into the ocean. And because of that, you can't follow that Judaic culture given by God. You have to, you know, do something that is from that area, even though that culture, those people that came from the area, if you look at history, they didn't come from there. They came from a place farther east than Jerusalem. You know, I mean, if you look at history, the Karmi, that's what it is. They don't know it, they just know they came in. There were some tribals living there, but the culture came in from somebody from the east. Yeah. You know, just like that, they came from the east, they came from somewhere else. It's always coming from the east, but somehow or another, you can't follow anything from the east, even though your heritage is from the east, but whatever it is. So therefore, then you have to remove the Judaic culture, and then you practice whatever's left of the Roman that doesn't get in the way of it. So it doesn't actually support it, but it doesn't make a trouble for it, supposedly. And does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we tend to look at the things on that external kind of view. And that's Lord Chaitanya's point. Those first two or three points that Ramananda Rai made, they're bona fide. The acharyas talk about that's what devotees do. But Lord Chaitanya's point, it's external. What's farther? Because from the external, then you go to the internal, then you go to the spiritual, then you go to the transcendental, then you go to Braj, then you go to you know, the gopis, then you go to Radharani's group, then you go to Radharani. You know, that's the progression that's there. But because it's personal, then these things develop. These, the personal thing that you wear clothes, that comes from there, so you're still wearing here. Otherwise, we say it's external, and then get rid of all that. And at the end, you know, then everybody is just within their head, you know, no clothes, and in their head they're just, you know, dancing around and all that, and wearing, what do you call it, a daisy chain, and, you know, holding everybody else's hand in a circle and dancing in a circle on a nice field on the side of the hill while people play ocarinas and recorders. Right? And beat on funny little drums. Can't forget the funny little drums.
Hmm?
Yes, yeah. That's the, isn't that? Recorder also comes from the east. Yes.
All right, so can we say, just coming back to the original Hindu example, that they have to bring this point just to see the fun, you know, how we are the shape. We don't have to discuss it with them. Because it's not on that level, like you explained previously. Up to a certain point, we can discuss with Maya bodies, or even up to a certain point, if we go even down, mm-hmm. with karmis.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Mayavadis up to a certain point, then with the other groups of Vaishnavas, we discuss up to a certain point.
Yes, always just up to that point, and you don't go beyond. But if you discuss everything up to that point, we're going to be putting it together according to our ontology, and their ontology is not as developed.
Yes.
So then your explanation is going to make sense. So as you get up to that point, it's going to be either it's just left like that and there's a nice agreement, or it's going to be obvious that there's something more. Because even they're there, so they're worshipping Vishnu and Vaikuntha. Okay, that's great. But the point is, this Vishnu is coming from Mahanarayan. So that means you have these 24 Vishnus, and you're going to be on one of the planets of one of the 24 Vishnus. You know, there's unlimited, but you'll be on your planet and have your personal relationship with that particular expansion of the Lord. So that means there's 24 flavors and all that, and so you have a particular mood that matches that particular one, but that means overall there's a general flavor in Mahanarayan. So that kind of aspect, you're in a specific thing, and that's fine, but that means that coming from there, and just that means there's a source to your position. You know, so just that itself then takes them back to there, at least they get to that much. You know? And then there's the aspect of, and since he's there, then that Mahanarayan, then that's the aspect of the Mathura, and then, you know, expansion of Dwarka, and these aspects. So then that sweetness and all that is there. So that aspect of sweetness becomes the very, very important. So the forms of the rules and regulations are there, but actually we see the point is that's what's unique when you get up to there, is that aspect of sweetness. Well, in Vaikuntha alone, it's beyond reverence. It's not the sweetness. It's appreciated, but it's not the attitude. But we see in Mahanarayan that sweetness is a major part of that attitude. Though the opulence is still there, you know, it's still appreciated in that. And so then we see as they have relationships with the Lord, you know, in Dwarka and that, the wives are there, the seniors are there, and everything like that. So they're going to take it that Vishnu, and then these are expansions this way, but they're not worshiping, they're not on Mahanarayan's place. They're an expansion of one of the 24 Vishnus. Mahanarayan, that's where you get these things, and then your Narayan is here, is one of them. So that means these aspects are there. So if they understand that, at least they get back to there, and they can appreciate. And so we focus on the sweetness, and so therefore that's why we're worshipping in Braj. And so if they can only get that far, that's far enough. You know, in other words, you don't disturb them, they don't disturb you. And so they have to accept that the surrender of the gopis is the best. Everybody from, you know, these major pastimes, they accept. So that's why then we should be trying without karma and without jnana to please the Lord. That's going to be the real thing. So it's not even that you want sarupya mukti, but that's for you. You're comfortable in that position. But the point is it's about surrendering to the Lord and doing things that are not about the liberation or about the benefits you'll get. And then that preaching of pure devotion, it means it would be natural that if they're sober, they'll relate to that and they'll know that yes, you know, and then they'll start to quote things where, you know, Ramanuja or Madhva or others then said, yes, they make this point, but they don't emphasize it. You know, and also with these hairs, they say that that's how somebody's translated it. Where did they get it? Did they read it in the Sanskrit? And from that they've come up with this understanding? Or did they read it from an English or Hindi translation? If they've ever even read it. You know. So therefore then, how do you know that's a translation? You know, you could say, oh, well, the word means that. Yeah, but the word only has one meaning. What are the other meanings? So that means you're basing it on etymological meaning, which of the six forms of understanding something is the lowest. You know, while Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, that's the high one. That's dealing in the direct. So therefore, then in the mood of the Lord and all that, so what is it meaning? It's just talking about that these two hairs became, but the point is that means from the Lord he expands. You know, what's the big deal about hair? Why you're so attached to the hair aspect? Point is from the Lord he expands and performs his pastimes. So that means the original Lord is there and he has his umptions. That's the principle that's discussed. But we just get caught up in the hair and, oh, no, they're not this and you say this and that. And that's all, they're just hair conscious. They're not actually into the point being made. Is even if you take it as hairs, the point is that these hairs are coming from Vishnu. They're non-different from Vishnu. That means from these hairs, these two expansions are coming. That means it's the Lord and his expansions. That's what it's discussing. It's not discussing hairs. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the mom goes in the kitchen and cooks. So then we have a whole discussion leaving the mom out of it and that. Just discuss the spoon and the knife. Because of the spoon and knife, therefore we have dinner. I mean, on some occasions that would be even good that they even know that much, right? You know, it's like that would be, at least they recognize that, you know. But the point is that that's what's happening. It just becomes, it's about the hair. Oh, it's a new thing. I heard about the hair. So just the talk is about the hair. But then, how many of those can you do? At what point? How many? You're going to have to read all the 18 Puranas to get all the stories to every class, come up with a new story that no one's heard. But after a while, everyone's heard them. And then what? You know? So therefore then, you have the thing is, that's why it should be in line with what the Acharyas are saying, and it has to be in line with the word, should agree with the Bhagavatam, the word Kalaya. So whatever the Kalaya, you know, like that. So then there's other things that it can mean, you know. He who has white and black expansions or has bound black hair. Right. So in other words, if you're taking Mahanarayan and you're talking then the expansions for performing pastimes and we're not dealing with Swayam Krishna, then we're talking about the Lord, directly Bhagavan and his umshas. But if you're talking about Swayam Bhagavan, then he's not coming from that. Then it just means that he's with his skillfully bound up hair. Because that's also Keshava. So it's just a matter of these levels of understanding. When we're looking at it from that point, then it starts to work. Because when we could say that, okay, so you're emphasizing Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. He's the Swayam. So again, it's situational. But the whole point is, it's from the Sarup everything's coming. So there's some Bandabhide and Prayojana because that Sarup is Satchitananda. Because of his desire, everything is happening. So the point is he's there, but he's a person, so the person has desire. That's the whole point, is that the person's just laying there unconscious and there's no desire, no interaction. He's there, but you don't really consider that it's complete when they wake up, come to consciousness. Then you say, okay, now, and what happens when you first think, how are you doing, do you need anything, immediately it's about desire. Right? Does that make sense? So we're used to looking at it from this end, and this end is part of the whole thing. And so when we say the Sarup, Krishna's Sarup, we may think this end, but then we know in Ichakriya and Jnana it's actually this end. They may be manifest from this end, but the point is why is it? Because of the other end, because of the Prayojana end. So.
It's very subtle, actually, because yesterday we were discussing with the students, the Vishnu avatars and, the 24 Vishnus and Lila avatars, and the Lila avatars, they come in a particular form. So that the question was asked, for example, somebody's worshiping Vishnu,
okay,
in the form of Matsya, mm-hmm, and develops relationship, and then gets attached to that particular form, mm-hmm, the Lila avatar. But then the frustration point comes when they go to the spiritual world, one of the 24 Vaikunthas. Mm-hmm. That form isn't there, it's a Chaturbhuj Narayan.
You can look at it that way, but there's one of the aspects is looked at, just being a little practical, is who in this class is going to Vaikuntha to be with Matsya in that form? So in other words, no one. So therefore, this is just a point of speculation to satisfy their speculative desire and need, so that they can remain in a bewildered state so they don't have to surrender. Because the thing is, but if I go there, do I really want to go back to Godhead? Maybe it's better to stay here than we can do. And Lord Chaitanya said, janmani shvare. So therefore, then I'm here. I'm already nicely situated. Why don't you surrender? No, I don't have to surrender. So the point is why? That means if Sri Vaishnava is sitting there and saying that, okay, then we can have a discussion. But for them, this is what I mean. We're talking about Krishna. We have a whole book about Krishna. How much of a book do we have about Matsya? You know what I'm saying? So the whole
pastime.
The pastime, but it's not a whole book. And it's not that the Bhagavatam's the whole book is about that pastime. These are pastimes bringing up because Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. So whatever is there in Matsya, whatever it is you're attracted by Matsya, that's there in Krishna in his Leelas. It fits in some way. So especially the more powerful they are, then the more it has an aspect in his pastimes.
Yeah.
But it's Krishna's mood. So Krishna has all these moods. So therefore, then the lions are there. So there, then you see is some devotees, in prominence will be Madan Mohan, some will be Govinda, some will be Gopinath. And the point is that all matches together because different pastimes, then one aspect is more prominent. And in every pastime, you're going to have all those. Right? There's an attraction to, there's interaction with, there's the experience of love of God in that pastime. So they're all three present. Does Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then these just become points of something that you can create a doubt about, therefore it becomes worthy of discussion. Means if it's conclusion, where's the doubt? So therefore it's not something to discuss. But here is, no, but what about that? So is that your problem? Is that why you're not surrendering to Krishna? Because you're worried that you don't want to leave here where the pastime is and all that? Is that why you're not surrendering? Is that why you're attached? You know, if it is, then let's deal with it, you know. But that's not. It's just something to argue. Therefore, the same with where the soul comes from, or do we follow Varnashram, do we have free will, or is it predestiny? Doesn't matter how many times you answer it. People don't want it to be answered. They want to speculate. They want to, you know, they want gain, they want safety. And so Krishna says, no, you see those things in context of him, give up that need for gain and safety. He's the one that's the source of all that. So you have to go back to there. So these are just discussions, but means we may have them on a very technical level, very academic level, or very practical level, or, you know, things like that. But the point is it's still the same thing. You know, so it's like if you look at managers, if you think about someone who actually manages the universe completely how he likes, in the grandest way possible, you know, who's our example of the best of ever manager, you know, that there ever was in the way of on the material platform?
You mean the universe?
Yeah. Hmm? No, but Brahma just gives direction. He creates that, but someone enters as the king. But we have examples of those who have been greater than Indra. So it comes down to?
Demons.
Yeah, which one? I mean, there's a few that come in, but who stands supreme amongst them all?
I don't know, Bali Maharaj?
Hmm? No, but Bali Maharaj, then, you know, that's farther down. He's dealing with Hiranyakashipu. I mean, it's just like, he's like, you know, hands down the best mundane manager that the universe has ever seen. He controlled everything. He made the seasons work the way he wanted. Why do you have to wait until, you know, April, May, June for mangoes? The mango trees give mangoes all year round. That's the way he wanted it, so they always give. He took control of all these things. You know? But that's the whole point. He's a demon, so therefore it's not that great. So there's limitation here. So therefore the devotion is the real thing. That surrender to Krishna, that serving Krishna for his pleasure, that it brings pleasure to him as a person, rather than I'm trying to please somebody just because then... It's just like, let's say you're going to the, you know, government office, right? And you're meeting a specific person. So you want to please that person, but not because he's a person. You want to please that person because if he's pleased, you get what you want. So you're actually trying to please yourself. And you're willing that you're cultured enough to understand that in pleasing yourself, you may have to, you know, please others in the process. But that's a temporary thing, and what you'll get is long-term. So it's still about ourselves. That's why performing the Varnashram for the pleasure of Vishnu, and that's all the farther you're thinking, it's still external. Though it's good. It's where you start, just like a pat-tat-tat-do brahma jigyasa. That's not the goal, but that's where you start. Human life begins there. Right? And so that aspect of that, these are, they can come up, but the whole point is okay, but let's look at this, you know. But the point is it about the form or is it about the person? You know, so then in your own lives and that, as you had little kids and all that, so as they get bigger, then they can't be friends anymore because they were really attached to, you know, each other when they were three and, you know, how they looked then and all that. And now they're 10 years old and they're taller and skinny and, you know, like that. They're not short and chubby, you know, like that. So we can't be friends anymore because, you know. What about the person? It's the same person. So therefore, that person is doing these pastimes. But when you're on the boat and all that, and he's pulling around the thing, you're attached to Mutsi and all that, okay, nice. But then how are you going to worship there? So we're going to worship by hearing and chanting. So these things can't be glorified the Lord through his pastimes. He doesn't like to hear his pastimes. You know what I'm saying? It still goes on. Because it's not like you're paddling around on there on your, you know, surfboard or one of those, you know, blown up inner tubes with your puja tray and that, and offering artik and stuff out there, you know, in the ocean of devastation. Yeah, that's what I'm just saying. These it means they're wild. You know, they're letting their mind go wild, so you catch their attention by being more wild than their mind. You know, in other words, they have these very light ideas, and then you create these very vivid, it's kind of like, what? And, yeah. Yes?
Yeah, I think that in one of the purports, 10th canto of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he mentions that all the description of the avatars should bring us to Krishna.
Yes.
But once we develop relationship with that particular form, we lose interest in all others.
Yes, yes. That's very good. So that's the one to bring up. So in other words, it means you can try. It's something that is there, so as we mentioned before, is that up to that point, everything's good. That they're worshiping Vishnu, they're having, you know, that one has attraction, attachment to Vishnu, and all that, to the Lord, that's all good. But the point is, you know, where is that going to be? What are they going to do? How is that going to, you know, does that mean now for Bogarty, they start offering algae, you know? Yeah, but I mean, because he can't get it, so he just offers spirulina, you know, bowl of spirulina.
Seaweed.
That's what I'm saying, seaweed. But I mean, if you can get the dry stuff and bring it with it, but here in Mayapur, I mean, you could go down to the Jalungi every day and pick some and then bring it back and then offer it to the Lord. Sorry?
Leaves?
Yeah,
seaweed.
Yeah, yeah, I'm saying you can. Is that what they're going to do? And then they're going to eat the remnants, you know, like that, you know, come on. So it's just.
I think they didn't go that far.
That's the point, but
not that developed.
No, but they're using, they're in their own emotions and feelings. They're taking it that far that it becomes a disturbance. So, you know, is this the right thing to do? You know, it's like conspiracy theories. You know, you bring it up to the point where you can't function. You know, you fear comes up, and can I do and that, and what can we do, and everything. My phone, you know, this is everybody like that. You know, who am I? Do I have it? It's like, who cares? You know, your life goes on anyway.
It's like COVID from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't touch anything. I was interesting. I just saw the news. Maybe it was yesterday or the day before. That in England they're pointing out how this winter that they may have, you know, up to 60,000 cases of flu. They didn't even mention COVID. It's just like they're shifting the focus, because all this time when the COVID, no one's bringing up how much flu is there and how many people died from the flu. You know? Though there is a thing, is if you have flu, you can't get COVID, and if you have COVID, you don't get flu. You know, so one or the other. You know, they're friends. You know, so if one's there, okay, you're already there. I'll go check out the next guy. You know, so it's just, you know, they seem to have a good relation, good understanding between them. So it's just a matter of that. It's just whatever you're into. You know, so something has to keep your mind. So that's why it's. associate with devotees here and chant, try to do that more, so you start to get a taste there and give up the taste on the mundane. Because otherwise, these things, is like you said, they can't discuss it, but they're talking about a technical point that they're unqualified to discuss. But at the same time, is okay, then on their platform you discuss it, and you see it gets wild.
Yeah.
You know, or the thing is you want to surrender, but as you mentioned, is that we surrender the Lord and all that, and you're thinking like this, if we say that by serving Krishna we'll be satisfied, why wouldn't we be satisfied in that worship? And if this is an expansion of himself, why we wouldn't be satisfied there? So it's just, you're just into turtles. So means, so then, so have we had all the Matsya Bhaktas have all, you know, moved to the Galapagos Islands and they've set up a temple there and they go out and do, you know, turtle puja every day, you know? Good chance, no. So, you know, so then the point is they're worshiping the Lord, and the principle is you'll be satisfied in worshiping the Lord because being part and parcel of the Lord. And once that's okay, but there's still that doubt, then you bring in your point you just made now, that Vishwanatha Chakravarti. All these are to remind you of Krishna. Once you get to an attachment to Krishna, all these others become just expansion of Krishna, and so it's Krishna who's important. That's why Keshava Drita Nadhai Rupa. You know, Keshava Drita Mina Sharira. Like that. It's Keshava who... So, if you think Matsya is so wonderful, but Krishna has come as Matsya. So it's Krishna who's wonderful. You know, just be like, let's say, for a friend, and you, let's say he's in a drama, and he dresses up, and he looks like, you know, somebody. And so then, you know, and you really appreciate that. But the point is why that's good is the person. You know what I'm saying? You know, in January, do they give out those little statues to the costume? You know. So for the Lord, he's non-different. But the point is that if Matsya is so wonderful and attractive, then that's because Krishna is attractive. It's part of his nature and personality that there's this aspect that just when you make it only that, you get Matsya. But otherwise, in his pastimes in Goloka, then it will just have its particular spot. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just it just has one aspect that's important. So there's some principle that's there in Matsya. He's saving the baby, saving the devotees, but he's doing it in a wonderful way. So Krishna didn't save the Brajbasis in a wonderful way by lifting Govardhan Hill. So it's the same principle. Just the Govardhan Leela is more far out than the Matsya Leela. You know, you got a boat, okay, cool, and you know, I think it's, was it Vasuki was the rope, and then you know you connect the two together. You know. You need a rope, Vasuki is there. You know. So that's the point that's there. So why won't it be wonderful? And there's so many varieties of that.
Yeah?
Okay. So here they're pointing out is that it has to agree with the meaning that's in the Bhagavatam, because that's the point being made. They're getting the Puranas are there. Having written all the Puranas, then he wrote Mahabharata. And then having written Mahabharata, he still wasn't satisfied because he thought, now I've given the conclusions. But no, then he had to write Bhagavatam. Why Bhagavatam? Because that then is about Krishna and about how he's non-achinta veda veda tattva. So you're dealing with Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna and the achinta veda veda tattva. With that, now you get the Bhagavatam. So then this discussion has to be in line with that. So for us, it'll always come back to that. And then you just have to, you know, figure out how to deal with that.
I was recently just reading that when Vyas meets Narada, and, you know, Narada right away, he sees he's not happy.
Mm-hmm.
But then he smiles and looks at him and asks, you know, a few questions just to figure it out. And Vyas is straightforward. So he the Narada says in one of the purports, it is mentioned that that if you are not satisfied by writing the Vedanta Sutra, at that point it was already written, he asks him that, do you think that those who study Vedanta Sutra will be satisfied?
Oh, that's a good one. That's really good. That's good.
So this became the impetus to write Srimad Bhagavatam.
That's a point. Because that's the thing, you see, as years, it always comes back to the personal, because we generally tend to not think of the personal. We generally think of, like we said, the situation, the mechanics, the knowledge and skills. That's what's going to make it happen. But it's the personal that makes everything work. So as soon as you bring it back to the personal, then everything starts to work better. Yeah. Okay, so now, having dealt with that one, now the next Purvapaksha. Padma Puran says that Nrisimha, Rama, and Krishna have the six qualities of Bhagavan in full. So how can you say that Krishna alone is supreme? Right? You know, they just keep going. They're just trying, oh no, but they're just two hairs of Vishnu. No, it goes back to here. Okay, but then, now, how you say Nrisimha, Rama, and Krishna have the six qualities. So how can you say Krishna is the supreme? You know, so now, that's the thing. It's just to have an argument. It's just, because the speculation, you want to not, because if you have conclusion, you're rooted to a point. And then from there, like you said, the regulative thing, everything is regulated by that point. They don't want the regulation. They want to be able to, wherever they can find some controversy, to go there, because that's where the taste is. You know? Is that it's just like, let's take for example, when Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Raghunath Das, about the village talk. Mm-hmm. So in the village talk, the points that they're talking about are, situations are valid points of discussion. But in that village talk, is the theme of the discussion about what is the situation of the person, what is the actual religious standard, and therefore what would be the appropriate activity to be done for their situation according to Shastra? Do they actually bring it to that? No, because that means, because that's not about taste. That's Siddhanta. So that is about, this person did that. Yeah, they should have done like this and this. That's not going to be gossip. Gossip, they did like that. Oh no, this is that. It's the end of the world and all that. And, well, that's nothing. What about this? Oh no, it's even worse. Like that. And, so it's just, you're just trying to raise that. And when that gets, that one starts, you've gotten all the information, then someone will bring up something else and take it another so you can then taste. So it's all a matter of taste. So it has that spontaneous mood. But it's just about, it's not about what how to improve life, what is the standard of life, what is the actual goal of life. It just becomes, oh no, this is, because if this is wrong, then what does that mean? Things are unstable, and if things are unstable, then you're going to be unstable, and if you're unstable, then it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
So it all goes back to there. I may not get gain or safety because of this, because somehow or another, that person doing that is going to come around until, the whole world is, coming down on my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when people do like that, not on this level, it's not that sophisticated, but everybody likes to play, by shifting the coordinate system.
Yeah.
It's very pleasing to the mind. It's very satisfying, actually.
Yeah.
But the difficulty with this, then you can't function, because you need stability to function. But if it's constantly moving, like for example, if we take Krishna as the supreme male principle, mm-hmm. he's stable.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else moves around him.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's a balance. But if there's no stable principle,
mm-hmm.
we can't function. So these people, they talk nicely, but whether they're functional or not in their life,
mm-hmm.
that's a different discussion.
Yes, yes, yes. So that when you make it there, that's why it's said that the life becomes stable. So on the material platform, there's going to be instability because that's just the nature of the world. Then you're willing to accept the Shastra and all that. It means you're taking a step towards Krishna. Then there'll be that stability of following Dharma, so that there'll be some benefit to that. But even that is still temporary, because maximum it'll last you, you know, for your experience now is this lifetime. Maybe you've done piety that'll last 10 lifetimes, but next life you're a different personality. You don't know. You don't know it's, you know, the second life of 10. You know, so it's just another lifetime, which is again temporary. So it's only when there's Krishna. But otherwise, that principle works in the whole thing. It's just like, okay, let's say, okay, just for example, yeah, means if you're Krishna conscious, then you'll take it back to something connected with Krishna. And if you're not, then it's, you know, it's like a boat without a rudder. It could go anywhere. Wherever the way the wind blows, it'll go. And so that's why in the Vedic system, there's always the aspect, even though it may say that they want freedom, but you find people want a place to stay. They want to know they can stay there as long as they want. They know that they have regular food, regular clothes. It means everything's regular in their life. And then all these things are there as the spice. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's like you want the same taco, but, you know, then you put how much Tabasco sauce on it you want. You know? So?
Yeah.
Uttara. The verse indicates that among all avatars, they are the best. Generally, these three are considered the best of all. Among them, however, according to the order, they are successively superior. Thus, Krishna is supreme. Right? Yeah, so that's what you're saying. They have the six qualities in full. So you're saying that of all the avatars, they're going to be the three best. Out of all the unlimited, then this, Nisringa, Rama, and Krishna are going to be best. But in that order, they're also then each one, the Nisringa, then superior to that is Ram, then superior to that is Krishna. That Maitreya asked why Hiranyakashipu was not liberated, whereas when he became Shishupal, he was liberated. Parasara explained the greater power of Krishna in comparison with Nisringa. Moreover, demons cannot attain liberation unless they meet Krishna. In some scriptures, it may be said that those who hate the Lord attain liberation by the power of thinking of Him. But it is never said that all of the haters of the Lord are given liberation by the avatars of their source, Vishnu. Right? So they may hate the Lord, but whichever form they're forming on, then that'll move them forward. But it's only Krishna we see is getting. Thus, Parasara says that this is the most astonishing nature of Bhagavan, known as Krishna. In prose, he says at the end. Thus, Krishna... this Krishna, glorified and remembered, bestows the rarest results to both devas and demons, even by their connection through hatred. What to speak of giving results to those who are completely devoted? Vishnu Purana 4:15-17. It would be demon or demons?
Demons.
Yeah?
Devas,
yeah. Unless you mean devatas and then demon meaning one, only Hiranyaka or only Ravana or only. Sorry. The demon quota has been fulfilled, so...
It should be the demon.
Yeah, the demon, yeah. Demons. Yes, so we see there's a whole discussion of this also. Narada Muni makes that point very much. It's quoted it's in Bhagavatam, and it's quoted in Nectar Devotion, where then it's pointed out that... the most wonderful results are attained by approaching the Lord from whatever mood that you have. It will give an amazing result. It will give a non-material result. And so that's just by remembering the Lord, thinking of the Lord, even if it's unfavorable, it's because there always comes this constantly 24/7 thinking of Krishna. But inimical, and that will bring him to, you know, a superior position. So then what to speak of those who approach him with affection, what they'll get. In other words, they're thinking of Krishna that situation aspect, so then they'll get that they'll come to that transcendental aspect, so they'll get liberation, which means situated on the transcendental platform, the spiritual platform. But those who worship Krishna with devotion, so those who are completely devoted, then they attain that position of ananda. So it's not the situation, it's the pastimes. Does that make sense? No? So any connection to Krishna is good, but you know, if you want to get prema, then it should be done with complete devotion. Yes?
So that's the way I would surpass the idea of the situation?
Yes. Because it's means, because we always have to remember the situation, we take it that the situation is the supreme. Because we want a particular thing that we, if you look at it, why the situation? Because the activity. Why the activity? Because the result. Why the result? Because the experience. So actually, if you don't get the experience, then you'll doubt the result, you'll doubt the process, you'll doubt the situation. So that means the experience is actually the superior element. But we'll take that as the junior element. But it's actually, no, it's the supreme element. You know, somebody is a big controller in that very big position and all that. Full size now. You know, because before it was just the little, you know, the little ones like that. Now you have the full all the way down. Yeah.
You know, by the time
rising.
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. That's it. When we get to the course, at the end of the course, then. Yeah.
Those who can fly, that's it. That's the
cutting. Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah. What were we talking about? Where we got into such important detail. Oh, and so that'll be the, so someone has that big power, it's the experience of the power that's there. Because you can say, no, it's having the money, having this and that, but different people in position of power have different facilities. Some have power and no money. They have influence over people with money. But they themselves don't necessarily have money. So there's the thing is that it's the experience of it, that's what's important to it. Like we were saying, you know, before, it's the experience of the mental speculation or the experience of the emotions in the speculation or in the gossip or things like that. It's the emotions that come up or the news, you know, so it's what comes up. And we think, because you think if I have knowledge, then I have, because from knowledge, then you can then perform activities, then you can get results. So if I have knowledge, that's control. You know, they'll say that. Who has the data, then they have the control. But the point is unless you actually apply it, you don't. Does that make sense? So we're always looking at it that way. So it appears that it's practical, and it does have its position. But we have to understand is that it's still secondary compared to the primary. So the primary is your experience. The secondary is going to be what's the situation of what you can do in that. So the whole thing that we think is the real thing is actually all secondary. So the spiritual world, they focus on the primary. The secondary is naturally there. But we focus on the secondary and take it for granted that the primary is there. But without Krishna, it's not. Because we can't produce the primary. We can't produce ananda. Krishna is the source of ananda. We're coming from him. So our ananda, then in line with his ananda, then we experience ananda. But on our own, the amount of ananda that we have, how big is that? One tenth out of the tip of the hair? So that's 1/10,000. So that means the amount of ananda that we have is 1/30,000th the tip of the hair. That's the volume of our ananda. Right? Not a lot of ananda. But put that in contact with Krishna, who's unlimited. Now we're talking some serious ananda here.
I think it's a direct paraphrase of the Raso Vaisaham Rasamhevayam Lapvananda Bhavati. So then he is rasa.
Yes.
But those who are connected with that rasa, they lapvananda, they get that ananda.
Mm.
But then the continuation of that verse says, I don't know the Sanskrit,
mm-hmm.
but it says...
That's the funny part. I know the Sanskrit. I don't know what you're talking about.
Vinay,
So then it mentions that if even in material life, if the drive of a living entity wasn't that rasa, that taste,
right,
we wouldn't have desire to live. Nothing would actually motivate us for life.
Yeah, yeah. It's been so long since, I mean, what I'm saying is it's been so long since I've looked at that translation, because they go, after that, they go through the whole thing of explaining what are the tastes in the whole material, in the Mahatattva, you know? So the king, like someone like Yudhishthir, you know, unrivaled sovereign of the earth, that happiness is so that you can measure, you know, give some sign. That's taken as one unit.
One unit of phenomena.
Yeah, and then from that, then, you know, the antariksha, they're going to be 100 times that. You know, like, so all the yakshas, yarakshasas, gandharvas, all those guys. Then 100 times that will be the residence of the heavenly planets. 100 times that will be the leaders of the heavenly planets. You know, the 33 million, like that. You know, that then above that's going to be the, you know, those who, you know, the eight, or who actually the main managers. Indra will be the top of that. Above that is Prajapati. Above that is Brahma. Above that is then Brahman. And so then Brahma's Ananda is compared to just a drop compared to the ocean of Ananda, Brahman. And Brahman, then Rupa Goswami points out, is a fraction of a portion of a drop compared to the unlimited ocean of bhakti. Because Brahman is compared to an ocean like here. It's big, it's vast, but it's not unlimited. Because unless you connect to Krishna, that's the only way you get unlimited. So Brahman's unlimited because it's connected, it's Krishna's effulgence. But if we see Brahman as separate from Krishna, then the amount of Ananda you can taste is not unlimited. It's very great. You know, I'll call it, you know, it's just like if you have a really good friend and have a really good moment, you say best friends forever. You know, but the next day you could revise that nomenclature, you know. Like that. So you're going to have the so that's why it's doing that. So unless it's connected to the Lord, you can't. So even though it's showing that it gets greater and greater, and the Shastras talk about these things, and the, you know, the those who are interested, you know, in karma talk about, those interested in liberation talk about, but all that, unless you're connected to Krishna, you're not actually going to get what is actually capable of the soul. And all those other positions will be temporary, even liberation. But once you get to the Lord, that's eternal. That's natural, that's eternal. Yeah. That's pretty far out. See, that's the thing, is this gradually, by the grace of nature, you start to switch a bit. And then you see, is Prabhupada's always just talking about the personal. And we're thinking, oh, he's just making it simple. No, he's giving conclusion. Because if you always think like that personal, then immediately.
Yeah. Also personal, even to somebody who is completely new, if you address personal aspect, it makes immediate sense.
Yes.
And then at the end, it makes ultimate sense.
Yes.
But in the middle, you have to work it out, which is what we're doing with a lot of, you know, details and explanations and like that. But it makes sense right away.
Yes.
And then at the end...
It makes sense. Because Charyas point out, is that, I think Prabhupada points out, is that you, the living entity, he has his spiritual form, his spiritual intelligence, his spiritual mind and senses, they're covered by the gross and subtle body. So at any time you can actually access them, but because we don't identify in that way, we don't. So if by the association of the devotees they talk about the spiritual, then you'll actually think about it using spiritual intelligence, and it'll make sense. Because you've tried on the material platform, it doesn't work, so this alternative that you're given, you know, shown by the devotees, then you can do. So anybody who looks at it from that way can understand. But that means it has to, because chit is naturally part of the soul. So coming in contact with that chit potency by the association of devotees, anybody can, means in the human form, can, like that. It means unless you're like Narad, then, you know, even the, you know, everybody else can also, all the animals. So, but in the middle is if we get back into identifying, like you see devotees identifying as professionals, identifying as academics, and these, then now the doubts come up, because now they're using mundane intelligence. They may be more qualified that they see finer details, but if you use the material intelligence, it still won't make sense. So, you know. Okay, Siddhanta. Thus it should be concluded that Krishna has the most amazing Shakti among all the forms of the Lord, by refuting contrary statements, by making these statements favorable in meaning. The position of Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, is made stronger. One should consider the strength or weakness of the statements, not the quality or scarcity of quantity or scarcity of statements. Right? So how strong is the point? That's what's important, not the volume. Because sometimes you say, oh, but so many places, you know, Prabhupada says this or says that, and they're all different and all that. But then the stronger statement, that's the one that's always applies. Then you have to see all the weaker statements in context of that stronger statement. You know, then it makes sense. That's how you balance. Because otherwise, we want to keep everything as equal. And then how do you work everything out? Because if everything is equal, that means no one's of any position. So it's like, I want to have control. But at the same time, as by taking control, others will be envious and it's a whole fight. So I want unrivaled control. So how do you get unrivaled control? You make everybody equal. Once you make everybody equal, then we have to have practical, and someone should be kind of organizing things like that amongst the equals. And so therefore you're in that position. And so now you have that control. See? So it's, you know, even you see, it's always going on. But you see now it's that political leaning is towards that kind of thing. But it's taken as no. You see, it's for, because then it's, if it's equal, then I'm also in control. But your equalness is still going to be under the control of those who are more equal. Right? What is it? All animals are created equal, just some are more equal than others. You know.
You know who said that.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And how you call it? And there's a spot for those who are more equal than others across from, is it St. Peter's? The Basilica?
Yeah.
Yeah, across from St. Peter's, that's where all the those who are more equal of the equals perform their equal activities. All beneficial equal activities.
They're
abode.
That's their abode.
Yes, that's their abode. Yeah. Okay. This is because why? The strength or weakness. That's what it means. Brahmins and Kshatriyas look at strength and weakness. Vaishya-Shudras look at quantity or scarcity. You know, Vaishyas are looking at the quantity. Shudras, you know, dream about that, but their focus is on the scarcity because they want to be fearful. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. And so, you know, that's why I say the powerful Brahman and like that. You don't say the powerful Kshatriya or the powerful Shudra.
You say powerful Kshatriya.
I mean Vaishya, I meant Vaishya, excuse me. You say powerful Brahmins, powerful Kshatriyas, but you say wealthy Vaishyas and, you know, famous Shudras or skillful Shudras or like that. So it's just the nature of the mentality. So the tendency is because, especially in Kali Yuga, because everyone's born Shudra, means that mentality, you have to cultivate the Brahminical to develop it. Because default setting is just start off, you know, as Shudra, which at least is human. And then by bad association, you'll go down to Chandala or Malecha or, you know, just keep going. Was that? Yeah. Okay. This is seen in the world where one fighter sometimes defeats thousands of opponents. You know, like you see Bhishma goes out. You know, it's just nobody stands. That's it. Thus, all the Vedas indicate Parabrahman in the form of Sri Krishna by refuting any contrary statements. Quote, what do the Vedas instruct as action? What is the final meaning of the Vedas? What alternatives do the Vedas raise? No one except me or my dear devotee knows the intended meaning of the Vedas. The Vedas indicate bhakti as the action and indicate me as the meaning. I am the meaning of all the Vedas. I, as karma and jnana, am proposed and rejected as alternatives. By negating all these, the conclusion is reached that I, Krishna, am the final truth. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:21, 42-43. That's far. So Krishna is the meaning of the Vedas. And bhakti is the action. So alternatives to bhakti, you know, or to himself, the karma and the jnana, it's still Krishna. The potency of karma and jnana is still Krishna. It just means, karma means bhakti without Krishna, the action aspect. And jnana means the knowledge of bhakti without Krishna. And so the alternatives are still him. And so then, like this, then they'll argue with each other. But if you look at it carefully, you'll see it comes back to, then bhakti is the action or process, and Krishna is the meaning. So he's the meaning. Why the meaning is what? Why you do things? What's the ultimate? So that was the point before. Is that if you say varnashram to please Krishna, okay, but why? What's the meaning? Your Krishna is the most dear, but that's not brought out at that point. You know, it's not in the renunciation. It's not brought out. You know, only when you get to that point of pure devotion, now you're saying is okay. Now at least the situation is right. But if there's more, please continue. You know, so however far he goes. So only when he gets to Radharani's state of Mahabhav, then it's okay. That's Anucheda 28. Bhagavan, who was just described as Paramatma, Garbhodakshaya, and his expansions, is again described in a form. Ete Chamsa Kala Pumsa. Krishnas tu Bhagavan Swayam. Indrari Vyakulam Lokam Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. All avatars mentioned and not mentioned here were portions of the Purusha, or are empowered jivas, create happiness in the world whenever it is afflicted by the demons and their ideas. But Krishna is the ultimate form of Bhagavan. So even there is that it answered like the previous thing. It's the hairs, but the hairs means about the expansions, portions, and everything like this. So it goes back to Vishnu. But the same time as you see is that aspect of Vishnu, then he's coming from Mahavishnu. Right? I mean, Mahavishnu is coming from Mahanarayan. At the same time, then we see is that there's one place, and then it says here that Krishna is indicated as the supreme about that. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. In this particular stanza, Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is distinguished from other incarnations. He is counted amongst the avatars, incarnations, because out of his causeless mercy, the Lord descends from his transcendental abode. Avatar means one who descends. Right? So that's why he's called an avatar. Not that you asked before, is that why is he called an avatar? Because he descends. But that doesn't mean he's not the source of all the avatars. So that's where the confusion comes up. If he descends, then he must be going through the same process. But even if you say, okay, he's going through the same process, where does that go back to? It indicates Krishna. So if Krishna, you know, is coming as an avatar, is coming from here, but then all that goes back to Krishna, that means Krishna is appearing on his own. He doesn't need the other forms of the Lord to appear. So, yeah. All the incarnations of the Lord, including the Lord himself, descend on different planets of the material world, as also in different species of life to fulfill particular missions. Sometimes he comes himself, and sometimes as different plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions, or as differentiated portions directly or indirectly empowered by him. Okay, so the directly would be the more powerful, and the indirectly means the it means the directly would be the avesas, and the indirectly would be the vibhutis. You know, it's like the sun is a vibhuti of the Lord, so it's indirectly. It means it's Krishna's arrangement, but it's not that you say the sun is an incarnation of the Lord. It's a manifestation of the quality, the energies, and you know, the opulence of the Lord. So
yeah.
Okay, so they descend to, on this material world to execute certain specific functions. Originally, the Lord is full of all opulences, all prowess, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, and all renunciation. When they are partly manifested through the plenary portions or parts of the plenary portions, it should be noted that certain manifestations of his different powers are required for those particular functions. When in the room small electric bulbs are displayed, it does not mean that the electric powerhouse is limited by the small bulbs. The same powerhouse can supply power to operate large-scale industrial dynamos with greater volts. Similarly, the incarnations of the Lord display limited powers because so much power is needed at that particular time. So any incarnation of the Lord, any portion or plenary portion of his portions, means the umsas, the swamsas, all these different aspects, they can manifest full power, but for that incarnation, they only need to manifest that much. And so it's not that that couldn't be. So that's why it's the same person. So Krishna only manifesting this much in this situation, then he's known as this incarnation. Or he's manifesting this in this form, and he's known as that. But it's still Krishna. So that's why then you can take everything back to Krishna. Because Krishna is doing all that. And everything is Krishna, but the point is Krishna is the person. The person is the person who's doing all that. Therefore, that's the interest. And then having interest in that person, therefore those specific pastimes manifest, in which then you can take part in those, in that appreciation. Does that make sense? Yeah, because otherwise we take always unlimited, so we take the unlimited as the thing. So how can you deal? He's the unlimited is just a feature of him. He's a person who has the unlimited feature. He has all knowledge, all fame, all everything. That's what's unique about him. So, for example, Lord Parasaram and Lord Narsingha displayed unusual opulence by killing the disobedient Kshatriyas 21 times and killing the greatly powerful atheist Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that even the demigods and other planets would tremble simply by the unfavorable raising of his eyebrow. The demigods in the higher level of material existence many, many times excel the most well-to-do human beings in duration of life, beauty, wealth, paraphernalia, and in all other respects. Still, they were afraid of Hiranyakashipu. Thus, we can simply imagine how powerful Hiranyakashipu was in this material world. But even Hiranyakashipu was cut into small pieces by the nails of Lord Narsingha. This means that anyone materially powerful cannot stand the strength of the Lord's nails. Similarly, Jamadagnyan displayed the Lord's power to kill all the disobedient kings powerfully situated in their respective states. The Lord's empowered incarnation Narada and plenary incarnation Varaha, as well as indirectly empowered Lord Buddha, created faith in the mass of people. The incarnations of Rama and Dhanvantari displayed his fame, and Balaram, Mohini, and Vamana exhibited his beauty. Dattatreya, Matsya, Kurma, and Kapila exhibited his transcendental knowledge. Nara and Narayana Rishi exhibited his renunciation. So all the different incarnations of the Lord indirectly or directly manifested different features. But Lord Krishna, the primeval Lord, exhibited the complete features of Godhead. Thus it is confirmed that he is the source of all other incarnations. And the most extraordinary feature exhibited by Lord Sri Krishna was his internal energetic manifestation of his pastimes with the cowherd girls. His pastimes with the gopis are all displays of transcendental existence, bliss, and knowledge. although these are manifested apparently as sex love. The specific attraction of his pastimes with the gopis should never be misunderstood. The Bhagavatam relates these transcendental pastimes in the 10th canto, and in order to reach the position to understand the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, the Bhagavatam promotes the student gradually in 9 other cantos. So that understanding is what's appreciated. When that's appreciated, you could say, oh, but what about others? But that's the thing, they all appreciate this position because of their surrender. That's what's so great. It's not that they're dancing with Krishna, it's that the surrender, that's what's special. Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.